Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Call in at 646-716-8652. And don't forget to push 1. Broadcasting from the southern plains of the greater Midwest in Kansas City, overlooking the beautiful Kaw River Valley in lovely Wyandotte County, Kansas, and occupied Osage Indian Territory. So greetings, ex-prisoners, partisans, communards, brigadiers, and lumpen proletariat. This is the Prison Abolitionist Hour podcast, celebrating 370 years of anti-capitalist thought through reasoning and rebellion.
We're back. April 23rd, 2022. Rain is on the way. I'm your host, Carl G. And this is the Abolitionist Hour. And we're glad everybody out there could make it again. And Mike informed us that the Russian trolls are no longer listening into the show. So we lost about 500 listeners we held them for about 4 months or 4 weeks. They didn't know what the hell we're up to on this show, I guess. But we know how to handle Russian trolls, because you know this is how we roll in Kansas. So yeah, we were going through the Iran-Contra stuff last week, and we were trying to kind of understand a little bit better where all this money came from to build all these prisons, to set up these third-party contracts to force taxpayers to pay, because there's about 17,000 jurisdictions in the United States. So that's courts and jails they built, in addition to at least 600 penitentiaries. Now, in the 1970s, we had about 350,000 people in prison. Now we've got 2 million, over 2 million in prison, and at least 5 billion on ankle bracelets for probation and parole, which is a racket that came from Missouri. A lot of people associate school to prison pipeline as coming out of Kansas City, but the state legislature of Missouri created the probation and parole system that exists today in the United States. Their next move is to build a new Jackson County Correctional Center. They've already removed people from a trailer park over in the industrial area, right across from Chiefs Stadium. We're talking about the Hunt family of mass incarceration called CGL. Go to CGL.com and you can hear their podcast. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to, like, Judge Roy Bean hash it out with Judge David M. Byrne. And as you all may recall, Byrne was a circuit county judge, came on board about 2 weeks before the courthouses flooded, and all those court records had to be frozen into blocks of ice. Judge Byrne was appointed by Matt Blunt. If that name sounds familiar, that is the retiring U.S. Senator Roy Blunt, Roy Blunt, as we have mentioned, has been married to a tobacco lobbyist for 20 years. And we just don't like we don't like prisons and jails, first of all. And we sure as hell don't like a new Jackson County jail that's going to be locking up everybody's neighbor kids and nephews and cousins. We don't need it. We don't need it. You know, we were told that Wall Street finance was rocket science. Well, in 2008, we found out that wasn't true. During the savings and loan scandal, we found out that wasn't true. So this racket has been repeating itself since the mid-70s, or the beginning in the mid-70s. It correlates with the building of prisons in this country and the probation parole system. Coincidence? There are no coincidences anymore. So we're going to talk a little bit about plausible deniability. Now, David Graeber would describe this as bullshitting. And I think even in Webster's Dictionary is now considering, you know, adding bullshit as a term for political discourse. Okay, so 378, Mike, go ahead and hit it. We'll start out with a little music and a little bit.
At the beautiful Palm Restaurant, 19th Street, Northwest, downtown Washington, on a brisk pre-Thanksgiving day. I'm here to moderate this special one-hour debate between two very popular folks in the Washington, D.C. area. They are Madison, formerly known as Joe Madison, now just Madison.
Oh, thanks.
And North, formerly known as Ollie North. For the benefit of this program, he'll be North. So it's North versus Madison. It's a debate between two very popular talk show hosts on WRC, and I've been asked to moderate it. By the way, if this sort of thing goes, we may do a lot more of them on other topics, as these two gentlemen are diametrically opposed on most areas of life. But we're specifically going to concern ourselves with the CIA and the drug issue. We'll start with Madison, because he's the one bringing up the charge, in fact, starving for it. So we'll ask...
Well, yeah, starving is...
Hold on.
Is
let me
right.
ask the question.
All right.
The starving... I just throw that in, Madison.
Oh, I okay. see. It's just food on
he does look
state,
bad.
Yes. State the case as quickly as you can on your side of the ledger, and then we'll have Ollie respond.
Well, the case is very simple, is that the CIA had knowledge of drug distribution and used the money to fund the Contra operation. Ollie North said on my show about 2 months ago when this first broke that the Contras had all the money they needed. And he cited, of course, what Solero recited yesterday, the $30 million from the King of Saudi Arabia, the money from Congress. But it was interesting to note that Sorello yesterday said that they always needed money. They were always out of money. And
you,
so we firmly believe that drugs, the sale of drugs by the Contras, were used to finance in part
this
their war.
This was not a sale by the CIA.
No one.
And this was a story that broke in the San Jose Mercury News.
And no one at the San Jose Mercury News ever accused the CIA of selling drugs. There's no CIA agent on the street corners of America.
So the accusation is someone is, and the CIA
knew, winked, blinked, and turned a blind eye.
Ollie North.
Well, actually, Joe has changed his story a good bit over the course of the last several months. The original allegation was that the CIA was deeply implicated in it. Now Gary Webb has had to back away from his original allegations.
That's the writer in San Jose.
The San Jose Mercury News. in what has to be one of the greatest journalistic hoaxes since the Washington Compost and Janet Cook created the little kid who was a mythical crack addict.
A total hoax?
A total hoax. And in the interest of accuracy, Larry, his name isn't Salerno. His name is Calero. And his name is Adolfo Calero. He did testify yesterday truthfully to the fact that nobody he knew in any way connected with the operations to support the Nicaraguan resistance violated any laws, particularly these. And I think the question that needs to be posed in all of this, the accusers in this case are all convicted drug dealers, and of course with the help of Gary Webb. Interestingly enough, Gary Webb and his prime accuser, so-called Freeway Rick, have now signed a movie deal.
And it doesn't make it a lie.
No, but I'm just telling you, you either have to be a big fan of Gary Webb or you believe Oliver Stone if you think this is going to make a great movie. Disney, in connecting these two characters together to make a movie, is obviously adopted the Oliver Stone theory of movies.
Are you saying unequivocally that the CIA would not have winked and would have come down hard if they knew this was happening?
Well, let me say this. Officially, the CIA would have absolutely nothing to do with it. Number two, there's no doubt that there are bad people in the CIA. I mean, we just arrested a guy by the name of Harold Nicholson, who is a spy against our country, charged with being a spy. There's another convicted spy, Alder James. Both were CIA officers. So there's no doubt that there are people who are bad folks, and there were undoubtedly bad folks in the Nicaraguan resistance. But as a matter of policy, nobody in the government of the United States would tolerate this.
Isn't that the key, Madison? It wasn't policy. It could have been a few rogues.
Well, I think Ali North is absolutely right. We should be accurate. And
score
if we,
one.
Well, no, I'm not going to give you that score real quick. Let's go to Ali North's own diary. If anybody should know the drug dealers, you do. You stated in your own diary, and I quote, that the pilots went to talk to Vaughn, wanted aircraft to go to Bolivia to pick up paste, want aircraft to pick up 1,500 kilos. Now, Joe Madison didn't write that. Ali North wrote that.
I'm glad you raised that.
And in your diary, you know darn well that you've made references to drug dealers. Now, the question that I would raise to you, did you or did you not know that there was drug trafficking going on involving the Contras in Central America?
The question to you was, is it policy or is it possible these were some rogue CIA members?
I don't care if it is policy or rogue members.
Well,
the point of the matter is, if
a person at WRC today went out and murdered someone, that wouldn't make the station a murderer. It would make that person a murderer.
Well, that's absolutely right. But if they were officially on duty, that would make a big difference. I mean,
if they were on duty,
the whole point.
Well, and Nicholson was on duty, and so is Alder James on duty.
And they both should be punished.
Exactly.
Now, well, if there were CIA guys doing drugs, Ollie, they should be punished, and the CIA has to take some blame.
But the real question is,
I would certainly agree with that.
But the question is, did you know drug dealers in Central America?
Yes, I did.
Did you turn them in?
Yes.
The DEA says you didn't.
Wrong. Here's the proof right here. I don't know who you're talking about, the DEA. This is a
Drug Enforcement Administration.
Well, that's a pretty name a name.
Did you turn in the information to them?
March 29th.
They said you didn't.
March 29th, 1986. You mentioned the name Vaughn. You know who Mr. Vaughn was? He was a Nicaraguan. He happened to be a Sandinista Nicaraguan. Those were the people who were running the drugs. Here's the proof. March 29th, 1986. Quote, in his speech for aid to the Nicaraguan freedom fighters, President Reagan said, quote, I know every American parent concerned about the drug problem will be outraged to learn that top Nicaraguan government officials are deeply involved in drug trafficking. And there, my friend, is the photograph of your friend, Federico Vaughn, loading cocaine on an airplane to import it into the United States of America. Sandinista, not a Contra.
What did you mean then in your diary?
That's exactly, this is the entry that pertains to this.
So what did you mean, pick up 1,500 kilos?
That's what this guy was doing. There's the photographic evidence published in an American newspaper. It happens to be the Washington Times.
Why does the DEA deny that Oliver North told them about drug trafficking?
I don't know the DEA. I certainly know many people at the DEA who were witting of this operation because they're the ones that collected this
guy. Officially, the DEA denies that Oliver North told them about drug trafficking.
Let's deal with reality.
The DEA is big building right out there.
Yeah.
I got arrested in front of it.
Yeah, but you know,
big time reality.
You know,
the question, Ollie,
big time
did you or did you not not reported.
Yes, we did report it.
Why do they deny officially?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Ask them to explain this March 29th, 1986 newspaper article.
All right, I got
to
get a break.
Ask them to explain.
All right, you both, Madison, you are convinced that the CIA winkingly let drugs be distributed.
Not only am I convinced of that, I'm convinced that Oliver North dealt with drug dealers in order to gain money.
That's outrageous.
You're accusing him of a criminal act.
Outrageous.
Well, let it stand.
Well, yeah, I mean, you obviously have been too long without food because your mental capacity is dropped off.
Well, I don't live on my belly. I live on my brain.
Well, it stopped functioning, Joe.
And I've got memos. We've got a memo from Rob Owen to Oliver North dated April 1, 1985 that describes a Costa Rica rebel leader potential involvement in drug running.
He was up there yesterday.
Let me get a break and let's try. No, this was not Pastor.
I got to get a break.
No, it wasn't. Not who I'm talking about.
In the next
about.
Segment, we'll try to make it not so personal and deal with the issue at hand. We'll be right back with Madison and North. I'm Larry King in this special edition on WRC at the Palm Restaurant. Don't go away. King with Ollie North and Joe Madison. We're discussing the CIA and the drug issue in the inner cities. And I asked Joe this, Madison, during the break, and I'll ask it on the air and have him respond. And I gave this example. Supposing there were three United Airline pilots. They had a little conspiracy going. They fly to South America.
Yeah, but
they make
the airlines my wife works for.
Okay, well, guys, American, United, U.S. Air, any airline flies down. These three pilots have a deal among themselves. They sell, they take drugs up into the cockpit, bring it into the United States, distribute it in the low-income areas and make money off it. Is United Airlines responsible?
Well, you would certainly consider that legally. Initially, you would have to.
But judge would throw it out,
wouldn't
he?
I don't know if a judge would.
Well, would you blame
or not.
United? Would you blame your own wife's airline?
Well, I would certainly, thanks. I would certainly look at as to the character of these people. Why were they hired by this company? Did they do proper background investigation of them? I think that you have to initially look into this. I mean, if you have a man like Oliver North on the ground, and his responsibility is to put this whole Contra operation together, he admitted right here he knew of drug dealing by the Contras. You didn't admit that.
I didn't say the Contras. I said Nicaraguans.
Oh, so are we saying... Now, let me ask you this question. Are you saying that no Contras were involved in drug dealing?
None that I know of.
Then what about when the CIA, the Central American director, said that not only do we know that Contras were involved, but we knew a lot of Contras were involved, and that was, I believe it was a fire that made that testimony, sworn testimony, and you can't accuse him of being a drug dealer before the Kerry Committee.
Well, you're going to have to show me what Mr. Fires actually said.
Well, I will show you exactly
what he said. The
bottom
denial,
line of it, yes.
The Deutsch denial didn't satisfy you, right?
Wait a minute. Not when you have a CIA director, an official of the CIA, testifying under oath in 1989, when asked directly, when you have him saying under oath to a congressional committee that not only do we know a couple of Contras were involved, but he said we know a lot of them were involved. Now, this is
Did you ask him why he didn't turn them in? Why didn't he turn them into me so I could have turned them into the DEA? Because that's what I'd have done.
Did you turn them into the DEA?
If he told me about them, I surely would
have. So of all the Contras, so when you wrote in your personal diary in 1985, you wrote down, and now this is the article right here, a trusted aide, drugs are being brought into the United States on a Contra supply plane. He recorded, Ollie North recorded, or the aide recorded, the type of aircraft, a stop on its route, New Orleans, and in testimony that your aide gave to Congress in 87, or North said he gave the information to the drug enforcement. Now, you just said you didn't know any Contras were involved in drug trafficking.
Right.
Wait a minute. But your aide told you there was Contras involved.
Calm down.
Answer the question.
That was a contractor flight for humanitarian supplies.
Were they Contras?
Contracted. No, they weren't. They were contracted by the Central Intelligence Agency.
Were they working for the Contras?
I have no idea. They were working for the CIA.
You and that Nicaraguan that testified yesterday sure don't remember a hell of a lot that went on.
No, I'm remembering very clearly, Joe. There's a case right there. You don't want to deal with this because these are commies. You don't want to deal with the fact that the commies were running drugs into this country.
I've mentioned your diary three times, shown me is that copy.
And number two, I've told you right there that those were not Contras.
By the way, in the second hour, you'll be able to call in to both of our guests. It'll be part three of the Madison Show, but you'll be able to call in and talk to both Ollie North and Joe Madison in hour three from 2 to 3. I'm Larry King, hosting this for WRC, this 1 hour debate. And on the relevant issue here, Ollie North aside, are you saying he's the key to all this?
He's absolutely the key to it. I am saying if Ollie North wants to go on record right now saying that no Contra, to his knowledge, was involved in drug trafficking,
he said that.
Keep this tape.
He just
because
said that. Play it any
he
way you
will
want.
Be he will be having to repeat this at a congressional hearing.
Well, somebody just elected you king, or what?
I may be. No, what they've done is they have a private citizen. Let's not make this me. I am saying if you go
You're
on record, if
North.
I'm saying to
I'm,
North, if you go on record on this show right now that you had no knowledge
of Contras,
then I'm saying we will wait and see until there's an investigation by
You're
Congress.
Saying,
I just want to remind you something. I mean, not to intervene with any reality in your little mystic, you know, experience here, Joe, as you starve yourself to. By the way, what is it going to
take?
Let's not get into what they call in the intelligence community distract, distort.
Well,
you accuse me of all kinds of things here, Joe. How about answering a couple of questions of mine?
What do you want me to answer?
Why are you on a starvation diet?
Because I believe firmly that the truth has to come out, and it's something that Ali North has a difficult time dealing with.
Oh, no, I don't. I've told the truth every single question you've asked me, Joe Madison.
I'm not necessarily referring to this November 1996.
Well, it's like 10 years ago.
Yeah, you have the truth, real problem with the truth, man.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
no, I didn't.
He says, you say unequivocally.
You had a real problem with the truth, but I don't want to get into it personally.
You have no knowledge. You have no knowledge of Contras dealing in drugs. You personally have no knowledge.
Absolutely.
And you had nothing to do with any of this story.
And I testified to it.
And you would consider it terrible if they were selling it in the
I wouldn't.
Wait, let's back up for a moment. You did not. When did you testify about drugs and the Contras to Congress?
I answered every question.
I didn't ask that. When did you testify about drugs and Congress?
You wade through the 700-some-odd thousand pages of testimony and all this.
I will repeat
the
question.
And I'll be glad to give you the exact date.
I will repeat the question. When did you testify about drugs and Contras?
I answered every question they asked. And nobody has investigated as I have.
We've been doing this as a North. Are you saying that the key to the San Jose Mercury story, Madison, was Ali North?
Let me tell you what he just did. You see, the Iran-Contra Committee did not deal with the drug issue.
Right. That's not true.
I think that is not true.
They did not question Ali North about drugs in that hearing.
First of all, Joe Madison, there are certain things about
did
what
they
went on.
Did they not?
Excuse me, Joe, may I finish the answer? There are certain things that you don't know about what they asked me because they were in closed sessions.
Did they not?
You go back and show me the document that says I can talk about all the things and I'll be glad to answer
the question. Did they or did they not?
I happen to be bound by a code that says I can't reveal certain things.
Here's a puzzling thing.
But I'll tell you one thing. Nobody I know involved in this operation was in any way engaged in the trafficking of any drugs.
Why would an agency of the federal government harm people of its own citizenry?
I'll tell you.
Why?
That is a question that you have to put to the agency.
But why do you think they would?
That's
bizarre, isn't it?
That's the question that you have to put to the agency.
And they deny it, so why do you think they would?
I think I get into the middle of a sentence and you start...
You keep saying ask it. They deny it. It's logical to say why would... I mean, I'm
why
in the why business.
You
know, why
starve
do people
yourself
do
until
what they
somebody
do?
Answers the question?
Why are you?
Ali North, the day that you are more concerned about my health than I am is the day I'll invite you to be my cook, okay?
Let me point out something
to you. You ask the agencies that are involved as to why they have a history of dealing in drugs that go back to the Vietnam War, that go back to Afghanistan. These are well-documented histories.
That's absolute baloney.
Well, it's not baloney.
Matter of fact,
the Kerry Committee did a great deal of research on this, and the information is out, and most intelligent people who aren't shills for...
And the inner city being a good target.
I didn't say for the inner city being a good target. The reality is that this is not a black versus white issue. White people are very much a problem of crack cocaine. This is an American tragedy.
All right, let me get a break, and we'll come right back. We'll be back live from the Palm Restaurant on AM 980. We've got a half hour to go, and then your phone calls for the two guests. We will have a promo, and when we come back, we're going to break for the latest in traffic with Bob Imler on this holiday. Please drive carefully. A lot of traffic heading out of town. When we come back, we'll be back with Madison and North.
Take one now.
Go.
Can only stay for a short while at the top of the hour, and Joe will be taking them the rest of the way, and this debate goes on. Where are we right now in this story?
Can I go somewhere with this, and that is there's a very brave patriot who I want to mention here named Sully Castillo, who is a DE agent who, by the way, happens to be a conservative, who served in Central America, and who is quite willing and ready to testify as to the Contras' involvement in cocaine distribution in this country. This man is a 17-year veteran, a Bronze Star Vietnam Infantry sergeant. He is in Texas.
Where has he been since 1987?
He has been, matter of fact, I've had him on my show twice.
Ready, willing, and able to testify before Congress.
And no one will call him up.
Why?
And he hasn't.
They're involved
been,
in this conspiracy too,
and,
Joe?
And he hasn't. He hasn't been called up, but I think we will have hearings in the 105th Congress, and I think, as Arlen Specter said yesterday, he will be called to testify. But let me just...
Hold on, wait a minute.
I guess the point I've got to make is let me just tell you what Castillo said. He says that he was not even talking about Ali North, investigated on narcotics matters, and he says if Oliver North had been investigated on narcotics trafficking, they would have surely have contacted the agent down in Central America, which included him because he was head of that DEA investigation.
You keep going back to our guest. Are you saying that no Ali North, no San Jose Mercury news story?
Oh, I'm saying.
He wasn't mentioned. Why is he the?
No, I'm saying that.
He has knowledge of it.
I'm saying he has knowledge of it. I'm glad he's on record. And I'm saying that a sworn officer of the United States government is saying that he has even more than knowledge and is ready to testify before Congress.
I guess I've got a little question. I can understand you doing it for your own purposes or whatever reason you decided to accuse me of all these things, but I'm a little confused as to where the dickens all of these people were back in 1987, 88, 89, 90, during the longest, most expensive inquisition in American history.
You always
yesterday,
bring that up.
It just happens to be the truth, Joe. I know you have a hard time dealing with the truth, but the reality is that's what's happened in this town. Yesterday, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill in which my name was used by Arlen Specter, and it's been used by Maxine Waters. It's gone on for 10 damned years, Joe, and I'm sick and tired of you and the rest of these people with these kinds of false allegations. Fact of the matter is, all of these people had an opportunity to come forward. There were congressional hearings. There was a special prosecutor. There was the Kerry Commission. Where were these people back then, and why didn't they drag me in front of a U.S. attorney and indict me?
I'm going to answer the question.
I want to know.
I'm going to answer the question, and I'm going to answer it from
succinctly.
From Prosecutor Lawrence's Wash's own mouth, who I interviewed. He was not charged to investigate you on narcotics.
That's
issues.
Absolute baloney. This guy investigated my babysitter. Are you nuts?
Excuse
this guy would have locked up my jaywalking the dog.
But he wasn't charged with looking
at
you.
That was not his charge.
He's wrong. If Larry Walsh said that, he's as big a liar as Joe Madison. Fact of the matter is, Larry Walsh had a mandate to investigate anything having to do with Contras and uranium.
Totally stupid.
Absolutely anything. Right. Let me just tell you something. They sent two lawyers and an FBI agent all the way to California to interview a babysitter for a $25 check.
What if this comes down
Prosecutor
to Madison?
Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh said he was only charged to investigate the selling of arms to Iran. That is what he was charged with, and that's what he
baloney.
Said.
Okay, he's saying it.
He's got a revisionist history just like you do.
Are you saying, Joe, that this was a few people, a lot of people? Who did this? Ali North aside.
Yes.
Who sold
conspiracy.
Drugs in the inner cities? Who?
Oh, the people who lived in the inner city sold the drugs.
And who sold it to them?
I think then what we're talking about is probably Nicaraguans who sold it for the purpose of trying to help finance the Contras, who Ali North said on my show,
This ain't the Ali North show. It's San Jose. Didn't mention him once. I'm asking you just to tell me. The Nicaraguans sold it. Now, who knew the Nicaraguans were selling it?
The people in the community sold the drugs. The blame should be spread across the board. The drugs sold to the community came from Nicaraguans.
We know that already.
Who said that they were using the money to help finance the Contras who needed the money. And one talk show host,
which we know is a lie.
Wait a minute. Dan Jose's story, which never mentioned Ali North, Matt. Why is this the Ali North debate?
Because Ali North's name is in all of
his
official documentation.
All right, now, who in the CIA in the San Jose story knew this was going on? Who knew the Nicaraguans were selling it to the people in the communities who were then selling it? Who?
Well, I don't know if anyone knew that the Nicaraguans were selling it
then
to the people in the community, but we do know that a CIA official testified before the Kerry Committee that the Contras were, in fact, selling drugs into the United States.
That's not what he said, Joe.
Let me read this. Appearing before the Iran-Contra Committee, the CIA Central American Task Force Chief, Mr. Alan Fire, testified, and I quote, "With respect to drug trafficking by the resistance forces, it is not a couple of people, it is a lot of people." End of quote.
And I will go back to what Adolfo Calero said yesterday. There was nobody that he knew of involved in this operation. He was one of the real leaders. You characterized Blandone as the leader of the resistance.
Excuse me.
So
I haven't been lying. Blandone.
It's a fact of the matter.
Somebody's lying.
That's where this whole thing started.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just read an official statement from a CIA official.
Invite him here and have
testimony.
Name names. Invite him here and have name names.
John Deutsch said officially the CIA was not involved. Is he not counted?
Well, John Deutsch better go talk to Alan Fryer because he testified under oath.
I think you ought to get him here on your show, Joe.
I will.
Yeah. I'm going to get a shrimp. We'll be back live from the Palm Restaurant on AM 980 right after this.
We'll be right back.
I'm Larry King. This special one-hour debate between Ollie North and Joe Madison, I'm proud to host it. We're broadcasting from the Palm Restaurant here on AM 980, and Madison says he has names.
Yeah, no, I have the answer to two questions that were asked me.
Where were these guys in 87, 88, 89, 90 when they could have testified?
And the person that I mentioned was Castillo, the DEA agent, and I'll tell you exactly where he was. He was investigating as a DEA agent. He was investigating the Contra supply effort for drug trafficking between 1986 and 89. That's on record. Then the question was asked to me, who knew the Contras were dealing drugs in L.A.?
You asked me that
question. The DEA knew? And the FBI knew, and they were in sworn affidavits that are currently in record. Wait a minute. That is the answer as concisely as you wanted me to put it.
So the conspiracy, as you described it, includes the Nicaraguan resistance, the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, the Congress, the Department of Justice are all involved in this conspiracy.
And you left out one person whose name I can't mention because...
You can mention it.
Okay, and you're saying... By the way, I'm in the conspiracy too, as far as you're concerned. Joe, have you any idea how... I mean, this is Oliver Stone writ large.
One of your unique tactics, and you've honed the talent well, is to distract, distort, and trash what is obviously the truth. Oliver Stone is not here. Okay. Do not mention a man's name who can't come to this microphone. He could not create a conspiracy.
Right. Please allow me. Let me ask you the question that Larry posed a little while ago that you evaded, you avoided, you distracted. And that question was, why would those people that you've lumped together in this enormous conspiracy want to bring drugs into America?
For the purpose of raising funds for armies and people that they support, especially when those funds were cut off. As yesterday, under sworn testimony, it was said the Contras always needed money.
Joe, this was strictly money. This is a need for money and an easy way to get it.
Absolutely.
Joe, I would point out, if you went to the United States Navy today over at the Pentagon and asked them if they had enough money to do all that they wanted to do with the billions of dollars that they've got, they'd say, no, we need more money. But we all know, don't we, that the Nicaraguan resistance, when the Congress cut them off in March of 1984 and the money ran out in June of 84, that the King of Saudi Arabia picked up the difference so that the funding never stopped. So they didn't really need the money, did they?
Oliver North.
You're into it.
Oliver North, that was sworn testimony yesterday.
I was in the middle of a sentence.
Excuse me. I was in the middle of a sentence. We're not talking about the United States Navy or the United States Air Force. We're talking about a man who was brought before a Senate Intelligence Committee who was asked directly. Did the Contras have money? Well, you asked the question, you got an answer.
If that were the case, according to them. No, it wasn't, Joe.
Then who's lying?
If the money was ex-Blandone and all your rest of your drug dealer buddies.
Yesterday was sworn testimony.
Joe, where did the money go?
Who's lying?
Where did the money go, Joe?
Excuse me.
Answer the question.
Look, excuse me.
No.
Are you calling the people who testified before our inspectors committee liars?
I'm calling you a liar.
No, excuse me. I didn't testify.
But, Joe, you have said that the money from the CIA and this enormous conspiracy you described was used to raise money for the Contras. And I have asked you, since you know so much about this, where did that money go? Whose bank account is it in? Because as Adolfo Calero also testified yesterday, he didn't get any of it. The Nicaraguan resistance didn't. And if you're going to believe that part of his testimony, then you've got to believe all of it. So I ask you, where did the money go? Did Freeway Rick put it in his bank account?
Look.
I think the American people out there deserve to have the answer since you know all about this thing.
The purpose of the conversation started with the fact that you are assuming they had enough money. I am saying, I am saying on direct testimony yesterday, leaders of the Contras said they did not have enough
money.
Okay,
you are repeating yourself.
Now, wait a minute.
Joe,
wait a minute.
Let us just
do
assume.
Just say
no, you said enough for a little while.
You have had a lot of
But I think that,
Last time I checked, it was the Madison show.
You deserve, I think, to have an opportunity to respond to this question. If indeed he was accurate yesterday about what he said.
I don't know where the money went. I'm not a Contra.
Oh, no. But
I don't know where the money went. I'm not a Contra.
You don't believe his statement that he never got any of it? You believe his other statement that he said nobody out there ever he was involved with had any money?
All I know is that I was sitting in a Senate Intelligence Committee. I saw the men stand up. I saw them take an oath to tell the truth, just like you took.
So you believe in what he said he didn't get any money?
I am in the middle of a sentence again, and I am interrupted. I saw two men who were brought before the Senate Intelligence Committee, took an oath to tell the truth. And they said before the American people right here on C-SPAN, they never had enough money.
I know where the money went. I finally figured it out.
Probably in a Swiss bank account with your name on it.
Oh, that's outrageous, Joe. Man. That's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And you know what? You're bigger than that, Joe. The fact of the matter is, Joe, the money must have gone to this enormous conspiracy bureaucracy. It's probably paying the salaries of the secretaries at the FBI, because you've created this enormous conspiracy that would have consumed an enormous amount of money since the Contras never got any of it. That can be the only explanation I can think of.
But you see, the argument is that the Contras, we know the Contras got money. The point is that they
There's never enough money, right?
They never got enough.
Now, Ollie, that might be true. There's never enough money.
And there's not enough money in the U.S. Air Force budget either. Or the U.S. Marines.
But, but if they were short of money and they raised money this way, that's a way of raising more money, right? I mean, somebody's lying.
Okay. But, Larry, if they did raise money this way, accepting his premise, if they did, where did the money go?
That's fair to ask.
Thank you.
The money.
Yes.
Right?
And I've suggested that two months ago.
Would you support an open and independent investigation into all of this?
Joe, I raised that on your show. Don't steal my ideas along with everything else. I raised that on your show. I called you, driving in, listening to your show on my way in to do my show. I was listening to you hold this conversation. And I called you, and I suggested to you that there ought to be the same kind of investigation here as there was on the Kennedy investigation.
Great attempt. I think I asked you the question, and I think you answered it.
Play the tape. Get the tape out.
Matter of fact, do play the tape. We have a copy of it back at
both
the station.
You can do that in the next hour, because I got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have our remaining moments with Madison and North, and then your phone calls. By the way, this thing goes over well. We may do it more often in the future with Mr. North and Mr. Madison, others involved with WRC. It's a great idea that Bennett and the crew had here, and my pleasure, with the permission of CNN, to host it. I'm Larry King. We'll be back live from the Palm Restaurant with our remaining moments and a sum-up, and then phone calls on AM 980. Don't go away. Thank you. Madison has an answer. All right. Well, it'd be easy. Okay. Ali, closing statement.
Well, I think it's outrageous that we still, after 10 years of all of this so-called Iran-Contra affair, are still trying to poke into things that have been fully investigated. Worst of all, Joe and his colleagues and Maxine Waters and a handful of others, to include Arlen Specter, up there creating a racial divide on this issue in America, because it has become a racial issue. The fact of the matter is that there's nobody I've ever known in the government of the United States or in the Nicaraguan resistance or any of the other resistance organizations who are in any way involved in it. Adolfo Calero testified to that yesterday.
No one you've ever known.
No one. Second of all, if indeed these people that he cites, Mr. Blandón and the like, who've been on the payroll of the Clinton administration's Justice Department, have money in their accounts, how did they get away with lying about supporting the Nicaraguan resistance with it? Because obviously it never got to them. Joe?
Mr. Madison.
All right. Where did the money go? According to a state of California search warrant and an investigation done by an agent of the DEA and the agent of the FBI, it says here that the money were filtered to the Contra rebels to buy arms, speaking, and that they were sent to the Government Securities Corporation in Florida. That's where, to answer the last question.
And they did what with it?
And then they filtered it into the Contras.
So that was the launderer.
That's right. Wait a minute.
Okay.
I thought these were closing statements.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Right.
Now, as far as the racial divide, this is not a racial issue, and I have said that time and time again, more than 100 times. This is an American tragedy. There are 67% of the American people who have tried crack cocaine, who have had it accessible to them, are white. 88% of those in jail happen to be black. We are not using this as an issue to divide black and white. This is the one issue on talk radio that truly involves all Americans, and all Americans should be concerned about it. And it's neither Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative. Let the chips fall where they may.
But it is breaking down that way, though, isn't it?
No, it's not breaking down that way. The only people who break it down that way are the media.
And I would suggest that the next step in this little inquisition you're doing, Joe, and all your friends out there, to include Maxine Waters, is to summon Attorney General Janet Reno and ask her why it is the Clinton administration has paid a man you just accused of having millions of dollars in his bank account, paying him $166,000 of your tax dollars a month.
I think of all the things that we've said today and disagreed on, we can part and agree on that.
Shake hands.
I think we should.
All right, thank you both very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for Joe Madison and for Ali North. The Joe Madison Show will continue following the news, and Joe and Ali will be taking your phone calls. And Ali will go back to following Joe next week. More on that later. I thank Bennett and the whole crew here at WRC for their wonderful cooperation. Of course, everyone at the Palm Restaurant, one of the great spots in America. I'm Larry King for Joe Madison, Ali North. This is AM 980 Washington.
Thank you.
with you. Some interesting points have come up, and we're hearing from a lot of people. Do we have Ollie North with us?
Yes.
All right, so Ollie is with us by phone. Ollie, you're still there?
Right here, my friend. I'm right here.
Good. All right, let's go to the phones then. India from Hyattsville, welcome. You're on AM 980 with Madison and my guest for a few moments before he starts his own show, Ollie North. Go ahead, India.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to know one thing. I want to know, who is Terry Reed, Mr. North? And I also want to know, who is John Cassidy? Wasn't that you? Also, why were the guns being manufactured in Arkansas? Why were the Contras being trained in Mena, Arkansas? What happened to Barry Seal? And what happened to General Rodriguez? And
okay.
I'm going to hang up.
Okay, well, don't hang up yet, because I'm not sure I wrote them all down. Okay, do that to me again.
Who was Terry Reed?
Terry Reed.
There she goes. Who was Terry Reed?
Don't know. Go ahead.
Why were Contras being trained in Arkansas?
Don't know. Didn't do that with any Contras I knew, but somebody may have. I didn't.
All right. Let's go to Gene from Riverside, California, on AM 980 with Madison and my guest, John Newman, Dick Gregory, Ollie North. Are you there, Gene?
Yes.
Hi, Gene. Go right ahead. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure. Because I was recruited into Ollie North's network in 1985 and became one of the earliest whistleblowers,
Gene, I can barely hear you. Can you give me a little more gain on Gene?
Speak up, Gene.
Okay, I'm on my cordless. I'm going to switch. I said because I was recruited into Ollie's network in 1985... and personally became one of the early whistleblowers by briefing CIA Director Bill Casey, the staff of the Commandant of the Marine Corps, P.X. Kelly, and Ollie North's outside man with the Contras, Rob Owen. This August 13th and 14th, I received three telephone calls from CIA headquarters, from David Christian, the head of, in the public affairs office, and then later from David Cogdell in the IG office. They wanted to know if I had knowledge of CIA activities related to drugs and guns and covert operations and the Contras. I specifically, in an hour-long conversation with Cogdell, named names, tail numbers of airplanes, cover companies, and he was so interested that he said he was going to send a team out to California to interview me and get some of my documents. And I agreed to cooperate with them. That was the 14th of August. To this day, they have never called me back because I named names, named the companies, and they don't want to know. As a result of them not calling me back, I faxed a letter to Congressman Jim Leach of the House Banking Committee describing the CIA contact with me. And to this date, I have never heard back from Leach's office.
Can you fax me information, including your name, address, and phone number?
I certainly can, and John Newman knows who I am. So I will fax you. If you'll give me your fax number, or John can give you my
Gene,
telephone.
Gene, is this the Gene that I spoke to about 2 weeks ago?
Yes, it is, John.
Okay. All right. We have contact with you.
You will know how to reach me, and I will send you the documentation, including formerly secret State Department telex traffic concerning selling airplanes to a front company to the Midian drug cartel.
Can I share this with Ollie North?
You can share it with anybody you like.
All right. Ollie?
Sounds like one of your sources, Joe. I think you ought to stay in very close touch with Gene.
Wouldn't you like to know about it?
You send me anything you want on what Gene's got.
All right.
Yep. Thank you.
Gene, thanks for your call. Gail from San Pedro, California. Welcome. You're on AM 980 with Madison and all of my guests, Dick Gregory, John Newman, Ollie North is on the line. Go right ahead, Gail.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to us.
Yes, it is.
Right.
It is. Difference in time.
That's all right.
I started watching this with great interest when Maxine Waters first got on it and called her office, and I have just a couple of comments. One is, of course, I was just so glad to hear you, Joe, say this is an American problem, because in watching all of this come out now, it looks like, whether it's media or not, they're making it a black thing. And it isn't a black thing. In my little white world out here, two nephews, I couldn't tell you how many families crack cocaine has devastated. And I don't understand why we can't get this out to the rage and the whole American population. There's just so many millions of people. I was a vice president in a major bank, made loans to, I couldn't tell you how many people, black and white, middle American, all across the board, seconds on their houses because their children robbed them so blindly on their credit cards, their whatever. And if you want to know where the money is, it came out of people's families, whatever, and went into the economy. But I had so that was where my background is and interest on this, and and just the devastation of all Americans, Joe, not just black.
Well, and again, I think that is the point, and I've had an opportunity to express that after Ali had left. But let me give you, Ali, an opportunity to respond to Gail from San Pedro.
Well, Gail, I certainly agree with you that the problem of drugs in America is a disaster for this country. There is no doubt about the fact that the increased use of drugs since the Clinton administration came to Washington is a major factor.
Oh, come on. Now, we had an increase of drugs since before Clinton came to Washington. You know better than that.
Excuse me.
But go ahead.
These are just the figures released by the DEA, and I know you don't believe them either.
Well, you didn't believe the DEA when I was had you sitting here.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd add something.
The increased use of drugs in America is a major problem. The unfortunate part of this whole controversy, which I point out began with the August surprise coming from the San Jose Mercury, was to say that the CIA and people around the CIA were involved in bringing drugs into this country. And that was described in the San Jose Mercury as a black-white issue. And that's when Joe Madison got on this thing.
All right. I have to take a break, but it wasn't described as a black-white issue. It said that the black community was disproportionately impacted by it. And as most Americans know in this country, with 67% of Americans trying crack cocaine being white, that obviously makes it an American tragedy. We'll take a break. Madison with you here on AM 980.
Thank you. yourself to go again. Cold water in the face brings you back to this awful place. Knock all mercies on your bankers too, but get up and learn those rules. When a man and a crazy chief, one says sun and one says sea, AM and FM and PM too, turning out that boogaloo. Gets you up and I get you out, but how long can you keep it up? Jimmy Hunter, keep you sunny, so deep and real funny. Hong Kong dollar in your face,
this Thanksgiving Eve, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not eating. But why? Because we want the truth to come out, and we will know the truth when we hear it. Stanley from Orlando, Florida, welcome to Washington, D.C., to AM 980. Oliver North, is he still with us?
I sure am. But, Joe, you just mentioned again, as you've mentioned about 30 times today, that you're not eating. I've got a question for you. Normally when somebody goes on a hunger strike of some kind, it's like old Mitch Snyder used to do it here in Washington. He said, unless these people have a place to eat, I'm not going to eat. And unless these people have a place to sleep, I'm not going to eat. Well, when they got a place to sleep and a place to eat, he started eating again. What's it going to take for you to start eating again?
Dick, you want to answer that question, because I've answered it till I'm not.
Well, I think we have to answer from two. He's when we can get the truth out from the government. And what we're fasting and praying for is not that the CIA be found. We're fasting and praying that the truth will come out. And if the truth comes out that nobody's involved in the government, that's what the prayer is about. Now, that's his. I'm fasting and praying until the CIA is out of business. My thing is, if I hired you, Alan, to your security company to guard my house, if somebody broke in my house, I'm not saying you broke in. I'm saying you have failed your job. Well, the CIA was set up to protect us from foreign intervention. The fact that Nicaraguans can stand on our street corners and sell dope means that they're being paid and haven't lived up to their job. So for that alone, I say let's disband them.
And the fast is so that the truth does come out. And one chooses how one chooses to sacrifice. You sacrifice your way. I sacrifice my way. And the thing that's very interesting, North, I didn't ask permission from anyone to do this. This was a personal, spiritual decision that I have made, and it's nothing compared to the way that my community and other communities have been sacrificed in this whole effort. And so, you know, every now and then, you know about sacrifice. You served in Vietnam. You made your sacrifice. It shouldn't be difficult for you to understand why I'm doing. Food's always been a symbol in the civil rights movement. Ever since the first student was denied a lunch counter back in the 60s. So it continues to be a symbol. Even Jesus fasted. So it's not something Gandhi fasted. It's not something that is unusual. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Stanley, you're on AM 980 with Madison, Oliver North, Dick Gregory, John Newman. Go ahead, Stanley.
Hi, Joe. I'm glad to finally get a chance to air some of this stuff out. I felt for years that the CIA, Oliver North, even Reagan and Bush knew about these drugs coming into this country. If you follow the history from when there was a Nicaraguan that came to the United States and asked for $100 million to help support the war, and Reagan wanted to give him the money. Congress told him no. From that point on, we have this drug scandal. From Hassenfuss to Oliver North to our fake war on drugs, even down to Noriega.
All right, let me let Oliver respond. Ollie?
Well, I think it goes back to the question that I posed, Joe, when you and I were sitting there with Larry King and between the two of us. And that is, and Stanley, you need to ask this question yourself, and I suppose it implies a great deal about what you think of your country and what you think of your government. But you mentioned Ronald Reagan and George Bush and things like that. I go back to the basic question that was posed during the time Joe and I were debating with Larry King. Why would anybody run drugs into this country? Why would any government official turn a blind eye to it. Why would anybody condone it in an official capacity in the government, whether it's the President of the United States or a cop on the beat?
All right. John Newman, you served 21 years in intelligence for the United States Army. Can you answer that question?
Yes, I can answer that. No one in their right mind would want to do that. No patriotic American would want to do that. I agree with North. Just about everybody I ever met in the government or in the intelligence committee wouldn't do that. But what about the Tuskegee experiment, okay? What about those pregnant women that were injected with plutonium that the government is now trying to settle with? This kind of thing, this heinous activities have in fact taken place. The government is liable. They have been sued. They are going to pay up. So it's not unthinkable, Ollie, that these kind of things have gone on. So we shouldn't say that it's impossible.
Well, John, I agree with you that terrible things have happened at the hand of government. For example, we interned, you know, hundreds of thousands of Japanese Americans in World War II, for which restitution was eventually, years late, paid. And certainly things are going to be happening as a consequence of the Department of Energy's investigation if they have any money left after Hazel O'Leary spends it on traveling. But in each of those cases, there was enormous documentation that proved from the top of the government with the approval of people in Congress and everything else that these things were done. In this particular case, there is no documentation.
Well, you have to...
All you have are the accusations... Wait a second, Joe. Let me finish for a change.
Well, there is documentation. No, I'm not going to let you finish.
Except the accusations of a bunch of convicted drug dealers.
Excuse me. There is documentation. It is in the Drug Enforcement Administration. Sally Castillo is a drug agent who has, in fact, reported it, and all we have to do is have an investigation. 1 minute before break.
You know, Ollie, this is public knowledge. A CIA agent about 30 years ago who was accused of committing suicide in New York City by jumping out a hotel window, and his family was disgraced. And then we found out, because a bunch of decent people pursued it, that they used him to experiment drugs on, and the government now have settled with his family. It's always, as long as you don't know it, is a denial, and then when you find out, the government pays off. They didn't come up. We didn't find out about Tuskegee out the goodness of American's
right.
heart.
I have to take a break. Madison with you here on AM.
What do we have for entertainment?
You're on with Madison. Ollie North is still with us, John Newman, and Dick Gregory. Go right ahead, David.
Yes, I'd like to say a brief statement. I graduated in the 80s, and I've lived in three states and had a job with a corporation that traveled all over the United States. To every little town, I could say that drugs are in every community, regardless of the size, you know. A couple of hundred people, too. You know, hundreds of thousands or even, you know, the inner city. And I'm saying that from, you know, 40 miles from Mena, Arkansas, and it's common knowledge, you know, that everybody knew that that was going on around here.
All right, but let me stop you there for a minute, because Ollie North, I did hear your show where you had the station manager or the general manager of Mena, Arkansas Airport on.
Yeah, and he's been there for 20 years.
And he's been there 20 years, and
yeah.
He said what?
Said it didn't, he'd never heard of any of this stuff until it all broke in this character's book.
So, David, you're from that area, and you're saying it's common knowledge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, just, I've got a lot of friends that have been, you know, that cocaine was their downfall. And, you know, I did live in Lubbock, Texas, when President Bush said that it was the barometer of the nation, and cocaine just... prices drastically reduced,
all right.
You know.
Okay, David. Thanks for your call. Margaret.
Yes,
yes? Margaret from Portland. I don't know if that's Maine or Michigan. It's M-I.
Maine.
Okay, Maine. Hi, Portland.
Yeah.
Hi.
We're just as affected as you are there in Washington.
Yes.
I want to say thank you, Joe Madison. God bless you for doing this. I really think that all these males and all these babies in neighborhoods should be up on the TV screen to see who's been affected by these. I feel sorry for all these people. My son was given 12 years for being with someone in a car that had the stuff on him. He had none. And I'm terribly upset that nobody... everybody thinks that all these people who had all these billions of dollars didn't know anything about it. How can that be so? You're a bunch of liars. And that jackal, that Mr. North, he stands there and laughs. He's been doing this for years and years, saying he didn't know. Well, all of us are being affected by it. And I want to thank you, Joe Madison, Dick Gregory, and the professor there for hanging in there and bringing this out. Don't give up. And God bless everybody who's been affected. Happy holidays to you. And I hope you all put up all these pictures of these people who are sitting
all
in
right.
jail with no hope.
All right. Ollie, do you want to make a comment?
Well, I'll tell you something, Joe.
Yeah.
It is that kind of attack that you have waged against me. You said those very things less than an hour ago on this show. You accused me of having a Swiss bank account. I'll tell you something, Joe. If you can find any Swiss bank account with my name on it, I will give you absolutely every penny that's in it.
Promise?
Yeah, that's an absolute promise.
Okay.
I am so sick and tired of this kind of stuff, Joe. I'll tell you something, buddy.
Right. Yeah.
No, let me just finish a second, because you put people like that on the air, and you and Dick make these.
Well, wait a minute. Understand one thing. I don't screen my callers, so we don't put people like that on the air. They have a right,
Joe,
as Americans, to call a number, and unlike most talk shows, I don't screen callers.
Hey, Joe, you said it yourself. It's not a matter of screening callers.
Well,
you accused me of having a Swiss bank account.
I didn't accuse you of having a Swiss bank account.
So
but anyhow, let's go to Robert from Miami, Florida.
You owe an apology, Joe.
Then I apologize. But if I find it, I will want every dime.
You won't owe me one now. I've never accused you of nothing. You just dragged me into something. You owe me an apology.
And Dick, you're right. I apologize to you.
All right, we've all apologized.
Thank you.
Love you, man. Robert from Miami, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine.
You're accusing this guy, which is Oliver North. To me, he's been a hero in this country, and he did well for the Contras. If it doesn't matter if the Contras did sell drugs to support themselves, what it matters over here, who told these people to buy the drugs?
Okay. So it doesn't.
It doesn't matter
that the Contras sold drugs.
Well,
what matters is the people who sold it. Okay.
The CIA is the first one who's going to know if they did or not.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know,
Oliver, I'll let you respond.
You're a racist guy.
Robert, I disagree with you that Joe's a racist. I think that in many respects, some of the things that have been said on this show, particularly by John, and to a certain extent even Dick, I have to agree with. There needs to be an investigation that gets to the bottom of this stuff. What I don't think helps is for people to adopt a mindset that the government of the United States is actively participating in the poisoning of its people. I just think it's flat wrong.
Well,
and I don't think that anybody is going to find a mountain of evidence like they did on things like Tuskegee and the rest of it, because there is no conspiracy.
Well, the point is, we won't find a mountain of evidence as long as there's a veil of secrecy. And if there is nothing to hide, then let us have a Records Act. You agree with that. I agree with that. And then I will say to you, let the chips fall where they may. Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. And I think all of us could agree with that sitting around this table and with you, Ollie, right?
That's true.
Okay, then let's end on that.
Well, I
want
my happy. Agree to you last Monday. Yeah, the mighty
over the street, go!
some secret, secret leader. Have the boys found the leak yet? Mole Hill set the wheel in motion. Downfall picks up locomotion.
With you here on AM 980 as we conclude live from the Palm, and it's been a very exciting day. We're going to replay this, matter of fact, locally here in the Washington area Thanksgiving Day. So everybody who's visiting from out of town, if you missed it, well, you'll be able to hear it tomorrow in its entirety. John Newman, you had an offer for Ollie that I think is a good one, and I hope he'll accept it.
Ollie, you still there? Ollie
I'm
North?
Right, I'm right here, John.
With respect to your comment about in this particular case that we don't have the documents, I believe that you believe that when you say it. My offer to you is if you will agree to devote a segment to this or some time, I will bring you the official documents, DEA documents, FBI documents, L.A. County Sheriff's documents, and we can go through them and spend some time on them.
But John, that's not what I was talking about. Let me be very clear what I'm talking about. You bringing me a document like Joe was flashing around, kind of like, you know, Joe McCarthy over there at the table today. Wait a minute. Let me finish. I mean, Joe's waving the papers around saying that this is an L.A. County document. Here's a state of California document. What he's talking about...
As if he didn't wave documents and papers in front of me.
Wait a second.
Well, if you're going to accuse me of something... You know, recognize that you sat to the left of me and you did the exact same thing. So don't call me Joe McCarthy. Come off of it.
I showed you a newspaper.
Look, do you accept or do you not accept his offer to look at official documents?
No.
All right, then fine.
Excuse me. May I finish, Joe? Change?
Maybe. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm calling you at 3 o'clock.
It doesn't do a whole lot of good, John, for you and I to sit down and peruse a search warrant based on the testimony of some convicted drug felon.
Did you bring a DEA documents, Ollie? Not
repeat that again so he can hear it.
DEA documents?
Real DEA documents?
What I'm suggesting... Joe, will you let me finish for a change?
Let me go to the next caller. Zionville, Indiana. You can't answer the question. Ollie, you can't answer the question.
I'm trying to, but you haven't let me answer the question.
Man. It's a yes or no.
No, it is not a yes or no, because what I'm suggesting to you is a full-fledged investigation.
All right.
Just like
fine. He doesn't want to see your document.
Right,
no, I want the full-fledged investigation.
Then why don't you get it? Instead of this charade...
Oh, we're
going to...
Ollie North, thank you for being with us. We're going to have a full-fledged investigation, and I hope that you'll sit next to me in the Senate investigation room as we listen and read these documents under the full guise of the American people. And to America, thanks for being with us. Ollie, thank you. Dick Gregory, thank you.
Happy
John Newman, everybody at the Palm, thank you. Love you all. Happy Turkey Day. Eat some turkey for me.
It's the Abolitionist Hour. We've been listening to the Clash Sandinista album, the great Joe Strummer. We got some storms blowing over Kansas tonight. And most of you are watching this right now, probably on NOAA, this front coming through. And I mean, it's splitting into like double rails, and it's going to disappear in about 2 hours. And so Mike's down in the bunker. And so what we've been listening to was Ollie North, 1996. And Gary Webb released a story about CIA involvement in gun running and drug running. Now, it's certainly debatable where crack was invented. I've heard two stories. I've heard in Colombia, in the country of Colombia, and another in Oakland. So at least that's a 50-50 chance, you know. But who knows? At this point, the damage is done. We found the flight recorder. Okay. John Kerry prosecuted this, and all the information is available. So last week we also talked about the savings and loan. There was a few that we didn't mention, like Silverado Savings and Loan, the famous Neil Bush operation, and its regulator was in Topeka, Kansas. You know, giving a hometown spin to this whole catastrophe. And of course, there was testimony, and of course, Ollie North was pardoned, but he described opening a bank account in Kansas City. Now, I'm not going to mention the name of the bank, but I do recall at the time driving up into the parking lot and say, damn, you know, and that's the problem with a lot of the right-wing conspiracy theory. They were maybe half right. But they, you know, it was envy and revenge against the Clinton administration, even though Clinton passed legislation that George Bush had no way of passing. So we're at the end of this period, where the chickens have come home to roost. Everybody knows what time it is. Everybody knows it's time to make change, make a difference. I mean, it's capitalism thrives on a failed state. It's a boom and bust economy. Surplus, shortage, however you want to dice it up. But it's an unfair playing field. I mean, to play on a fair playing field, you have to carpet bomb the playing field. And let's be serious who the Sandinistas were. Okay? They were collective farms. You read any Echo magazine, any labor magazine, radical labor magazine, and they're talking about collectives, rank and file unionism, solidarity unionism. The labor movement has always been against everything that Ollie North had been attempting to defend himself this past 90 minutes. And I'm glad you all stuck with us on this, and I hope you enjoyed this segment. And so power is out over in over in the Kansas side, and we hope that Mike and family is in the root cellar, and we hope everybody is safe tonight here in the Midwest, and for you folks on the coast, we're going into tornado season, and it's going to last until October. So that's one thing we do out here is we always keep a rain jacket handy. And at a certain point, if you hear a freight train coming, it's probably too late. So hopefully nobody escapes the mortal coil tonight. But we've had 40 years of climate change denial. They said the science wasn't in. At the same time, we're seeing prisons built every 2 weeks. We're hearing bundling up derivatives and stealing mortgages as rocket science. Political crimes that at no time in history could hardly compare. Maybe Caligula, okay? Well, now Caligula did induct a horse to the Senate. Now, I'm not sure if Pinochet did that. Oh, no. Pinochet made himself senator for life. So there has been officials gone to prison for war crimes. And certainly this drugs and arms network is a war crime. And it is so embedded into mass incarceration, you can hardly differentiate it. The National Guard has two supply ships that have been retrofitted, and they're off the coast of Ecuador and Bolivia, and they're floating prisons. There's now an organization called Ameripol. Now there's also a Peace Corps group called Ameripol also. But there is a police department, a federal police department, that can go in any border and do extraordinary renditions in Central America and South America, and they end up in Coast Guard detention. And keep in mind, the first prison was an immigration jail, and it was such a failure. This was in Texas, about 1981, and it was a senator who owned it. They gave up, put a fence around a hotel. They bought a motel, put a fence around it, and made that the first detention center. So go to 360.org and listen. These people are giddy. You know, we about building 600 new prisons across the country, and with the capacity of maybe three times the bed size, which means with a 1,200 bed facility. And the old jail still existing. They were already running 25,000 people a year through Jackson County Correctional System. So they plan on doubling to tripling that many people coming around. And these facilities that they're building are capable of processing 1,000 people. So as we've seen with the first jail, all they got to do is put barbed wire around an old Walmart, and you got a prison. I mean, they're building fancy barns, is what they're doing, but there's some problems with what they're doing because they're modular. So if someone is tortured, they can just go in with a forklift and remove that cell, destroy all the evidence. There's caves where trucks store goods underneath where the new Jackson County facility is. And this, again, this part's owned by Hunt Brothers, too. Or the Hunt family of mass incarceration and trucking and oil. And let's keep in mind, they changed the constitution of Chile. And we're talking about the Hunt oil. Changed the constitution of Chile so that they can kill activists interfering with drilling. They can kill indigenous people interfering with drilling. What we saw in Guatemala in 1903, 100,000 indigenous people were murdered in a 12-month period simply because they wanted to cut mining roads through the mountains. Now, I'm seeing a lot of stuff about paraquat and lymphoma, these types of class action suits. And it was probably early 80s when we first heard about paraquat. They would say, take your weed and put in a glass of water and shake it up and see if there's any green residue. And that would be paraquat. Well, what we find now, 40 years later, from the coca grower, statements from the coca growers in Colombia, that they missed the coca fields every time the DEA were spraying through Colombia. And so they tried to make it like, oh, that's government incompetence. Except if you look at the mineral content, the metals that can be extracted from Colombia, and considering they have two coasts, the Atlantic and Pacific, in Colombia, they were just killing trees where they're going to be cutting roads. So this, you know, we pretty much have a picture of what has happened, and we're seeing politicians now aging out. Some people say, oh, I can't wait till Henry Kissinger dies. You know, he's not a doorknob where, you know, on the closet where the skeletons are hidden. There's a lot of people know where the bodies are buried. A lot of people with blood on their hands, and they're eloquent speakers. They're used to fine dining. They know the difference between Chardonnay and Chablis. So there is no working class representation in Washington, D.C., Jefferson City, or Topeka, or anywhere else in this country. Now, what is working class? Probably everybody under $260,000 a year is working class. Let's be realistic. And for people not to want single-payer health care just because brown and black people and indigenous people might live a decade or two longer, it's just totally convoluted thinking. As Jacques Lacan said, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And we need a strong radical labor movement right now, because they laid it out in 1905 at the IWW convention in Chicago. There were two engineering unions from Great Britain that were there. So we're going into Labor Day in a few weeks. May 1st is coming, people. And so kind of our preliminary May Day, get ready, people. You can ride on the train or you can ride under the train, but labor is coming. So that's pretty much where we're at. No more jails. No more jails. Free them all. Some people have a problem. Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to free Charlie Manson? You know, it's like, no. But, you know, Reagan, he closed the mental institutions and put these folks on the streets. You know, at the same time people were dying of AIDS, at the same time the crack epidemic hit, the same time drug running, gun running, you know, and the guns. I mean, people think of NRA as take this musket from my cold head, dead hand, you know. But no, NRA represents the weapons industry. And I don't see how people can separate somebody wanting to have a gun for self-defense and separate that from the international drug trade. I mean, it's provincial thinking to be able to separate the two, in my opinion. And so we're going to continue talking about Iran-Contra. Noam Chomsky says the $130 trillion of cash that is being held by an oligarchic system, a global financial mafia. And this war between Ukraine and Russia, it's about the mafia fighting with each other, which is a capitalist war. It's just another capitalist war. We've seen this in Bosnia, and we'll hit on that from time to time. But I think this is a good season to drive this Iran-Contra story out in the open, because there's a lot of interest in it right now, and people are talking. All right. Mike made it through the tornado.
Where the Fraser River flows, each fellow worker knows. They have bullied and oppressed us, but still our union grows. And we're gonna find a way, boys, with shorter hours and higher pay, boys. And we're gonna win the day, boys, where the Fraser River flows. Fellow workers, pay attention to what I'm gonna mention. For it is the clear contention of the workers of the world that we should all be ready, true-hearted, brave, and steady, to rally round the standard when the red flag is unfurled. Where the Fraser River flows, each fellow worker knows, they have bullied and oppressed us, but still our union grows. And we're gonna find a way, boys, shorter hours and higher pay, boys. And we're gonna win the day, boys, where the Fraser River flows. All these gunny sack contractors have all been dirty actors. They're not our benefactors, each fellow worker knows. So we gotta stick together in fine or dirty weather, and we'll show no white feather where the Fraser River flows. Where the Fraser River flows, each fellow worker knows. They have bullied and oppressed us, but still our union grows. And we're gonna find a way, boys, shorter hours and higher pay, boys. And we're gonna win the day, boys, where the Fraser River flows. Now the boss for law is fetching, bulls and pimps he's fetching, and they're a fine collection, as Jesus only knows. But why their mothers reared them, and why the devil spared them, are questions we can't answer where the Fraser River flows. Where the Fraser River flows, each fellow worker knows. They have bullied and oppressed us, but still our union grows. And we're gonna find a way, boys, shorter hours and higher pay, boys. And we're gonna win a day, boys, where the Fraser River